Chapter 84. Here and there was as clear as that of a well-made wax doll, and her face as expressive. She was handsomely dressed, and was winding up a gold watch. Miss Lillerton, my dear, this is our friend Mr. Watkins Tottle, a very old acquaintance I assure you, apostrophe said Mrs. Parsons, presenting the Strephon of Cecil Street, Strand. The lady rose, and made a deep courtesy. Mr. Watkins Tottle made a bow. Splendid majestic creature. Apostrophe apostrophe thought Tottle. Mr. Timpson advanced, and Mr. Watkins Tottle began to hate him. Men generally discover a rival, instinctively, and Mr. Watkins Tottle felt that his hate was deserved. May I beg, apostrophe said the reverend gentleman, may I beg to call upon you, Miss Lillerton, for some trifling donation to my soup, coals, and blanket distribution society? Apostrophe apostrophe, put my name down, for 2 sovereigns, if you please, apostrophe responded Miss Lillerton. You are truly charitable, madam, apostrophe said the Reverend Mr. Timpson, and we know that charity will cover a multitude of sins. Let me beg you to understand, that I do not say this from the supposition, that you have many sins which require palliation. Believe me when I say, that I never yet met anyone who had fewer to atone for, than Miss Lillerton. Apostrophe, something like a bad imitation of animation lighted up the lady's face, as she acknowledged the compliment. Watkins Tottle incurred the sin of wishing that the ashes of the Reverend Charles Timpson were quietly deposited in the churchyard of his curacy, wherever it might be. I'll tell you what, apostrophe interrupted Parsons, who had just appeared with clean hands and a black coat, it's my private opinion, Timpson, that your distribution society is rather a humbug. Apostrophe, you are so severe, apostrophe replied Timpson, with a Christian smile. He disliked Parsons, but liked his dinners. So positively unjust. Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Lillerton. Certainly, apostrophe observed Tottle. The lady looked up, her eyes met those of Mr. Watkins Tottle. She withdrew them in a sweet confusion, and Watkins Tottle did the same. The confusion was mutual. Why, apostrophe urged Mr. Parsons, pursuing his objections, what on earth is the use of giving a man coals who has nothing to cook, or giving him blankets when he hasn't a bed, or giving him soup when he requires substantial food? Like sending them ruffles when wanting a shirt. Why not give them a trifle of money, as I do, when I think they deserve it, and let them purchase what they think best? Why? Because your subscribers wouldn't see their names flourishing in print on the church door, that's the reason. Apostrophe, really, Mr. Parsons, I hope you don't mean to insinuate that I wish to see my name in print on the church door, apostrophe interrupted Miss Lillerton. I hope not, apostrophe said Mr. Watkins Tottle, putting in another word, and getting another glance. Certainly not, apostrophe replied Parsons. I dare say you wouldn't mind seeing it in writing, though, in the church register, eh? Apostrophe apostrophe, register. What register? Apostrophe inquired the lady gravely. Why, the register of marriages, to be sure, apostrophe replied Parsons, chuckling at the sally, and glancing at Tottle. Mr. Watkins Tottle thought he should have fainted for shame, and it is quite impossible to imagine what effect the joke would have had upon the lady, if dinner had not been, at that moment, announced. Mr. Watkins Tottle, with an unprecedented effort of gallantry, offered the tip of his little finger. Miss Lillerton accepted it gracefully, with maiden modesty, and they proceeded in due state to the dinner table, where they were soon deposited side by side. The room was very snug, the dinner very good, and the little party in spirits. The conversation became pretty general, and when Mr. Watkins Tottle had extracted 1 or 2 cold observations from his neighbor, and had taken wine with her, he began to acquire confidence rapidly. The cloth was removed. Mrs. Gabriel Parsons drank 4 glasses of port on the plea of being a nurse just then, and Miss Lillerton took about the same number of sips, on the plea of not wanting any at all. At length, the ladies retired, to the great gratification of Mr. Gabriel Parsons, who had been coughing and frowning at his wife for half an hour previously, signals which Mrs. Parsons never happened to observe until she had been pressed to take her ordinary quantum, which, to avoid giving trouble, she generally did at once. "What do you think of her?" inquired Mr. Gabriel Parsons of Mr. Watkins Tottle, in an undertone. "I dote on her with enthusiasm already," replied Mr. Watkins Tottle. "Gentlemen, pray let us drink the ladies," said the Reverend Mr. Timpson. "The ladies," said Mr. Watkins Tottle, emptying his glass. In the fullness of his confidence, he felt as if he could make love to a dozen ladies, offhand. "Ah," said Mr. Gabriel Parsons, "I remember when I was a young man, fill your glass, Timpson. I have this moment emptied it. Then fill again. I will," said Timpson, suiting the action to the word. "I remember," resumed Mr. Gabriel Parsons, "when I was a younger man, with what a strange compound of feelings I used to drink that toast, and how I used to think every woman was an angel." "Was that before you were married?" mildly inquired Mr. Watkins Tottle. "Oh, certainly," replied Mr. Gabriel Parsons. "I have never thought so since, and a precious milksop I must have been, ever to have thought so at all. But, you know, I married Fanny under the oddest and most ridiculous circumstances possible." "What were they, if one may inquire?" asked Timpson, who had heard the story, on an average, twice a week for the last 6 months. Mr. Watkins Tottle listened attentively, in the hope of picking up some suggestion that might be useful to him in his new undertaking. "I spent my wedding night in a back kitchen chimney," said Parsons, "by way of a beginning." "In a back kitchen chimney?" ejaculated Watkins Tottle. "How dreadful!" "Yes, it wasn't very pleasant," replied the small host. "The fact is, Fanny's father and mother liked me well enough as an individual, but had a decided objection to my becoming a husband. You see, I hadn't any money in those days, and they had. And so they wanted Fanny to pick up somebody else. However, we managed to discover the state of each other's affection somehow. I used to meet her at some mutual friends' parties. At first we danced together, and talked, and flirted, and all that sort of thing. Then, I used to like nothing so well as sitting by her side. We didn't talk so much then, but I remember I used to have a great notion of looking at her out of the extreme corner of my left eye, and then I got very miserable and sentimental, and began to write verses, and use Macassar oil. At last I couldn't bear it any longer, and after I had walked up and down the sunny side of Oxford Street in tight boots for a week, and a devilish hot summer it was too, in the hope of meeting her, I sat down, and wrote a letter, and begged her to manage to see me clandestinely, for I wanted to hear her decision from her own mouth. I said I had discovered, to my perfect satisfaction, that I couldn't live without her, and that if she didn't have me, I had made up my mind to take prussic acid, or take to drinking, or emigrate, so as to take myself off in some way or other. Well, I borrowed £1, and bribed the housemaid to give her the note, which she did." "And what was the reply?" inquired Timpson, who had found, before, that to encourage the repetition of old stories is to get a general invitation. "Oh, the usual one. Fanny expressed herself very miserable, hinted at the possibility of an early grave, said that nothing should induce her to swerve from the duty she owed her parents, implored me to forget her and find out somebody more deserving, and all that sort of thing. She said she could, on no account, think of meeting me unknown to her pa and ma, and entreated me, as she should be in a particular part of Kensington Gardens at 11 o'clock next morning, not to attempt to meet her there. Apostrophe, you didn't go, of course? Apostrophe, said Watkins Tottle. Didn't I? Of course I did. There she was, with the identical housemaid in perspective, in order that there might be no interruption. We walked about, for a couple of hours, made ourselves delightfully miserable, and were regularly engaged. Then, we began to correspond, that is to say, we used to exchange about 4 letters a day, what we used to say in them I can't imagine. And I used to have an interview, in the kitchen, or the cellar, or some such place, every evening. Well, things went on in this way for some time, and we got fonder of each other every day. At last, as our love was raised to such a pitch, and as my salary had been raised to, shortly before, we determined on a secret marriage. Fanny arranged to sleep at a friend's, on the previous night. We were to be married early in the morning, and then we were to return to her home and be pathetic. She was to fall at the old gentleman's feet, and bathe his boots with her tears, and I was to hug the old lady and call her mother, and use my pocket handkerchief as much as possible. Married we were, the next morning, 2 girls friends of Fanny's acting as bridesmaids, and a man, who was hired for 5 shillings and a pint of porter, officiating as father. Now, the old lady unfortunately put off her return from Ramsgate, where she had been paying a visit, until the next morning, and as we placed great reliance on her, we agreed to postpone our confession for 24 hours. My newly made wife returned home, and I spent my wedding day in strolling about Hampstead Heath, and execrating my father-in-law. Of course, I went to comfort my dear little wife at night, as much as I could, with the assurance that our troubles would soon be over. I opened the garden gate, of which I had a key, and was shown by the servant to our old place of meeting, a back kitchen, with a stone floor and a dresser, upon which, in the absence of chairs, we used to sit and make love. Apostrophe, make love upon a kitchen dresser. Apostrophe, interrupted Mr. Watkins Tottle, whose ideas of decorum were greatly outraged. Ah! On a kitchen dresser! Apostrophe, replied Parsons. And let me tell you, old fellow, that, if you were really over head and ears in love, and had no other place to make love in, you'd be devilish glad to avail yourself of such an opportunity. However, let me see, where was I? Apostrophe, on the dresser, apostrophe, suggested Timson. Oh ah! Well, here I found poor Fanny, quite disconsolate and uncomfortable. The old boy had been very cross all day, which made her feel still more lonely, and she was quite out of spirits. So, I put a good face on the matter, and laughed it off, and said we should enjoy the pleasures of a matrimonial life more by contrast. And, at length, poor Fanny brightened up a little. I stopped there, till about 11 o'clock, and, just as I was taking my leave for the 14th time, the girl came running down the stairs, without her shoes, in a great fright, to tell us that the old villain, heaven forgive me for calling him so, for he is dead and gone now, prompted I suppose by the Prince of Darkness, was coming down, to draw his own beer for supper, a thing he had not done before, for 6 months, to my certain knowledge, for the cask stood in that very back kitchen. If he discovered me there, explanation would have been out of the question, for he was so outrageously violent, when at all excited, that he never would have listened to me. There was only one thing to be done. The chimney was a very wide one. It had been originally built for an oven, went up perpendicularly for a few feet, and then shot backward, and formed a sort of small cavern. My hopes and fortune, the means of our joint existence, almost were at stake. I scrambled in like a squirrel, coiled myself up in this recess, and, as Fanny and the girl replaced the deal chimney board, I could see the light of the candle which my unconscious father-in-law carried in his hand. I heard him draw the beer, and I never heard beer run so slowly. He He was just leaving the kitchen, and I was preparing to descend, when down came the infernal chimney board with a tremendous crash. He stopped and put down the candle, and the jug of beer on the dresser. He was a nervous old fellow, and any unexpected noise annoyed him. He coolly observed that the fireplace was never used, and sending the frightened servant into the next kitchen for a hammer and nails, actually nailed up the board, and locked the door on the outside. So, there was I, on my wedding night, in the light kersamere trousers, fancy waistcoat, and blue coat, that I had been married in the morning, in a back kitchen chimney, the bottom of which was nailed up, and the top of which had been formerly raised some 15 feet, to prevent the smoke from annoying the neighbors. And there, apostrophe added Mr. Gabriel Parsons, as he passed the bottle, there I remained till 7:30 the next morning, when the housemaid's sweetheart, who was a carpenter, unshelled me. The old dog had nailed me up so securely, that, to this very hour, I firmly believe that no one, but a carpenter could ever have got me out. Apostrophe, and what did Mrs. Parsons' father say, when he found you were married? Apostrophe inquired Watkins Tottle, who, although he never saw a joke, was not satisfied until he heard a story to the very end. Why, the affair of the chimney so tickled his fancy, that he pardoned us offhand, and allowed us something to live on till he went the way of all flesh. I spent the next night in his second floor front, much more comfortably than I had spent the preceding one. For, as you will probably guess, apostrophe, please, sir, missus has made tea, apostrophe said a middle-aged female servant, bobbing into the room. That's the very housemaid that figures in my story, apostrophe said Mr. Gabriel Parsons. She went into Fanny's service when we were first married, and has been with us ever since. But I don't think she has felt one atom of respect for me since the morning she saw me released, when she went into violent hysterics, to which she has been subject ever since. Now, shall we join the ladies? Apostrophe, if you please, apostrophe said Mr. Watkins Tottle. By all means, apostrophe added the obsequious Mr. Timpson, and the trio made for the drawing room accordingly. Tea being concluded, and the toast and cups having been duly handed, and occasionally upset, by Mr. Watkins Tottle, a rubber was proposed. They cut for partners Mr. and Mrs. Parsons, and Mr. Watkins Tottle and Miss Lillerton. Mr. Timpson, having conscientious scruples on the subject of card playing, drank brandy and water, and kept up a running spar with Mr. Watkins Tottle. The evening went off well. Mr. Watkins Tottle was in high spirits, having some reason to be gratified with his reception by Miss Lillerton, and before he left, a small party was made up to visit the Bula Spa on the following Saturday. It's all right, I think, apostrophe said Mr. Gabriel Parsons to Mr. Watkins. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.